Welcome back again, wrestling fans, to the Short Time Wrestling Podcast, episode 716. I'm your host, Hall of Fame wrestling writer, broadcaster, and announcer Jason Bryant. Today on the show, something a little different. I had signed up to check in on Appalachian State's Media Day on Wednesday, and it turned out that Ted Carreras, who writes the Hand Raised blog, and myself were the only media there. So pretty much this is going to be the show. So we got John Mark Bentley, Will Formato, John Milner, Caleb Smith, and Cody Bond on the program today talking about Appalachian State, their schedule, their preparation for this year, what they learned from last year's national championships. So that will be later in the show. So boom, one, two, three, four, five people set this one up. So that one, that one's going to be fun. So we've got that, and we get hair care tips for John Mark Bentley. And if you don't know what JMB, which is oddly enough the same initials I have, looks like you'll get a joke in that somewhere. It's because he doesn't have any hair. Anyway, before we get rolling, I want to thank our newest patron, Anthony Shermoli. He jumped on board by going to matttalkonline.com/contribute and selecting Patreon. He did the whole yearly thing, so one shot, one kill, boom, just like GoldenEye if you're in that. Man, that game is like over 20-some years old. We played GoldenEye in my dorm at Whitehurst Hall, oh, geez, for hours and hours and hours. Spent more time probably that first semester playing GoldenEye than I did actually going to class, which may explain my extended stay America in college. That was a 7-year undergrad, and I didn't have a COVID year to thank for it. But what Anthony gets is he'll get access to the private Discord server. He'll get some gear, gets the shout out on the show. Also, the Discord server is probably a little bit more relevant now because earlier today, as I record this on Thursday, October 13th, USA Wrestling announced the Matt Forums will be shutting down on October 31st. And I tell you, it's a love-hate relationship I've had with those message boards. I'm actually going to be talking to Willie Saylor about those on the next episode of Short Time, which will be out heading into the weekend as well as we talk about the Super 32. But I had to manage those forums as part of USA Wrestling's media staff for 3 years. The hell that forum had brought to my life. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's great when they're talking, but what you don't see is what didn't get posted because things had to be approved in the last 12 years since we changed the format. And some of the things people tried to get by, created accounts just to create things to trash high school kids, to trash high school coaches, to trash other people. You know, it really kind of showed me some of the worst part about our sport. And I'm sad that they're going to go away because I, you know, got my name out there, a big part, not just the media stuff I was doing with the first iteration of Matt Talk Online, but on the message boards, I always posted as my name on WrestlingReport.com, on TheMat.com. Of course, I had on the original version of Matt Talk Online, I had one of the first two wrestling message boards. And oddly enough, I wear a Cal Poly shirt today. Head coach is John Cerritos. And when he was in high school in Virginia, boy, his transfer from Bethel to Great Bridge created so much of a furor that I would leave and go to class for 50 minutes. I'd walk across the street, literally across the street, to the BAL building on the campus of that place in Norfolk. And I would come back in 50 minutes later, 55 minutes later, maybe 60 after I probably had a cigarette because I used to smoke and that's not a proud portion of my life. And I haven't had one in probably over a decade. But point being, there would be so much trash posted about this. You know, he was then 15, 16 years old. I'm like, my goodness. And these were the adults. So I don't miss the message board moderation thing. Prior to social media, they were really a great way. I remember there used to be these long threads on the mat previewing Fargo. But once social media came out and everybody had the access to create their own website and blogs and content creation became a buzzword, you know, there's just a small section of people that still use them. I still have about a menu, about 15, 20 that I read, whether they be wrestling related, whether they be college sports, that school in Norfolk's fan base, things of that nature. And, you know, it's kind of a, you know, again, it's a little bittersweet because I met some people through that board. We had some poster parties. The old Wrestling Talk was probably the best wrestling forum of all time. Rest in peace to the man, Jacob Schlotke, and him and Shane Jensen put that thing together in the wake of some bannings on the mat.com back in the day. So the mat.com forum actually spanned two other message boards, the Open Mat and the Wrestling Talk. But I always posted as my name. The only name that I didn't post as, okay, the Wrestling Talk I posted as Dart Shark, because at the time I was living in Pennsylvania. And I shot darts for the Brendy's Dart Sharks, and everybody knew it was me. I wasn't hiding who I was. So, I could actually tweak your name there, too. I think one time I was like Dart Sharkamus Prime. It was just, It was stupid, but it was so much fun. It was a community. We still talk with people. I still have text messages and text chains and Facebook chats with people that were part of that message board back in the day. Homer Dindon, a.k.a. Actually, I don't know if I'll reveal his actual information, although people do kind of know who he is, but he had an avatar of me in a very interesting picture I had from the first Detroit Nationals, actually in Auburn Hills when we were at Champ a bunch of times, and involving a bottle opener that Danielle Hobika owned. So we'll just leave that story for where it is. If you were there, if you know, you know, right? But the message board's going away. That leaves a lot of pain out of my life because every time, ever since I left, I had to train the new people at USA Wrestling how to use them. And then every time somebody left on that staff position that was created there back in 2009, as part of it, as managed message boards was not the staff position. It was just one part of the job. But that one took so much flipping time. And then the report function, the moderation, just, you know, trying to ask people, don't be a jerk. That's really like on my Discord server, which you can join at matttalkonline.com/Discord. I have one rule. It's just don't be a dick. That's really my only rule. You know, if you're not keen on that language, I'm sorry, but just that's my only rule. And it's a wrestling crowd. You might take a little heat every now and then, but you know, generally I have this idea, you know, just be nice to people, be respectful. You can disagree with them. You don't have to go all nuclear option like you're talking politics. And matter of fact, I'm staunchly apolitical. I hate talking politics. I see some of my friends on Facebook and that's a quick mute. I don't unfriend them for their political views, but I don't need to see you rail about it one way or the other or wherever you stand on whichever topic. Don't care. Just treat people with some respect. And that's something I've always tried to do on the message board. Now, granted, I am not perfect in that regard. I have flown off the handle. I've called people out. I've been a little bit abrasive. I mean, those times I've been a lot abrasive. And you know what? Thankfully, being married has helped me kind of quell that internet rage. It's like, you know, I can see my wife, you know, just I can hear her like, what are you doing? And it's that like that GIF internet meme, when you call it somebody's wrong on the internet. I have to correct them. Sometimes there's that part of you that wants to get on there. And ultimately, I've tried to be factual. I've tried to be efficient. I've tried to be respectful. Now, granted, I can't hold fast to those theories all the time. And sometimes it's led to some people actually spoofing other people's phone numbers and calling me to scream at me for something I did on the message boards. Yes, that actually happened and not that long ago as well. So, you know, hey, that's the one thing I always found that was interesting about the message boards. You do something wrong, yet you get mad at the moderator. You get mad at me for calling. It's like the bad behavior. You're the one breaking the rules. Don't get mad at me for setting the rule, because the rule had to be made because you people were rude. So, again, there's the bad. Now, the great part of the message boards was a community. Now, it's not as robust as it used to be. And then, you know, one thing, they've given them 2 weeks to set it up. And I'll, again, talk more at length about it. But having managed that board and having had to moderate this board, and then one time on Valentine's Day, I got 30 reports. I was with my wife. I was, you know, living in Colorado at the time. She hadn't moved to Colorado yet. So we were kind of ultra commuting that first year we were married. And it's Valentine's Day. I'm in Minnesota and I'm getting notification after notification after notification of two people that were arguing with one another on the message boards and just hitting the report function, spamming in my inbox. Like, you realize you take time away from people. And we've had volunteer moderators for that thing. And nobody would last because it was such, it was so bad. So there's the good, there's the bad. And ultimately, my life is going to be a lot happier because I've had to be on emergency moderation duty again when hires come and go. So nobody's there to monitor it because, you know, USA Wrestling's down a staff member. I've had to step in because, and it's nothing I was ever paid for. It's like, okay, let's keep it clean. Let's keep it consistent. And it's not always been fun. Now, some of the conversations have been fun and we'll talk again about that later. Other things to talk about that are more positive, and that's the Gear Up campaign. Check out my Gear Up campaign that I've joined in conjunction with Beat the Streets National. Check out how you can help outfit kids by going to matttalkonline.com/gearup. Every $50 donation will outfit a needy wrestler with $200 worth of gear. The point is there to make sure every kid has access to the sport of wrestling. We don't need to lose the next Jordan Burroughs, the next Helen Maroulis, the next Adeline Gray, the next David Taylor, the next Rulon Gardner, you know, the next Mason Gibson, the next Bo Bassett, the next kid who's not even good yet, the next kid who starts wrestling in the seventh grade and wins an NCAA title. We need to make sure those boys and girls have an experience that is free of barrier to entry. We always say wrestling is for everybody. Shape, size, color, creed, gender, whatever. You can wrestle. But if you don't have gear, you really can't, you can't play those sports. You can't compete. You can't practice. You can't learn. And this is a way to make sure we don't miss kids, or we miss less kids, because we can't get everybody. But Beat the Streets National is trying to catch them all, as many as they can. MattTalkOnline.com/gear up. Again, you drop $50 in the donation pool, one kid's going to get $200 worth of gear, thanks to ASICS, Resolite, Gear to Compete, and all the teams that are out there. You know, Blood Around's got a team. We got Message Boards with a team. We got Intermat with a team. We got all sorts of teams out there. Join my team. Again, MattTalkOnline.com/gear up. Let's make sure we got some kids on the mat. One last thing I want to touch on is kind of with the Patreon thing, with the contribution thing. For the last several years, I've been working, again, I talk about the historical research that I'm doing for the sport of wrestling. A lot of just grunt work, a lot of going through old amateur wrestling news, old amateur, NCAA wrestling guides, digging through archive.org, finding dead results on the internet, and trying to put them in a repository for the sport of wrestling. Now, we have a couple things that's still out there. You know, WrestlingStats.com still exists. The late Jay Hammond built that. I took Jay's database. He gave it to me before he passed on, and I've amped that up and provided a lot more information into that. But for a while, I'd always kind of use that as a perk for, you know, if you want to have Patreon access or you contribute to the network, you get that as a perk. Well, that perk is now kind of going away because I'm opening up the Almanac. Now, you still can't copy it because, people love to steal stuff and don't give attribution. Yeah, you, Darren Revelle, he blocked me on Twitter because I called him out for not attributing people for it with his lovely tweets. That guy's a donkey anyway. So back to the normal stuff. I was just saying I try to be respectful, except to that guy. He was a real jerk at the Super Bowl. Anyway, what I'm getting to is the almanac.mattalkonline.com. That is a database. That's basically been my database sandbox, a database sandbox of my tables, my databases, lists, all sorts of stuff is in there. So it's there. You want to go look at it. You access it. If you want to use it in articles or blogs or whatever, just cite where you got it and link back to it. That is the only attribution I ask for, whether it be Jason Bryant's Matt Talk Online, the Matt Talk Online Almanac, and a link to it. That site got a lot of attribution with the COVID tracking of sports dropped. I was the only one in the country doing that in that manner. So SI mentioned it, Yahoo, Bloomberg, all that. You can get the college databases, the All-American list from Fargo. Now, granted, there are still paid things like the Almanac, the Fargo Almanac, and the Preview Guide that provide these in a manner that's a little bit more functional, but the raw data is there and it is free. The paywall's been taken down or the block. So if I'm in the middle of something, you're going to see I'm in the middle of something. I'm right now trying to like repair old brackets and conference tournaments and stuff. So some things may be a little incomplete because I'm still working on them. I'm not going to sit there and just wait to do everything when I'm done. I'm going to put it in there. If you see something that's wrong, Kyle Klingman does this all the time. Says, hey, I know you got a name wrong here. Like one time I think I had copied a result wrong, and Terry Brands in high school was listed in Ohio. Now, I'm not going to know that by first glance. Now, if it was typed in wrong, I copied it wrong, or fat fingered it, or an autofill, yeah, I know he was from Iowa. But sometimes when you're looking at 20,000 rows of data, even the most obvious thing can slip through. So extra set of eyes or extra sets of eyes, go for it. Almanac.madtalkonline.com. And if you do like that, you do use it, and you think all this stuff is valuable, I would urge you to contribute at madtalkonline.com/contribute, whether that be Venmo, Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, or a number of other ways to basically say thanks for the work that I'm providing. That being said, wow, 15-minute opening monologue. I feel like it's crazier than The Tonight Show. Actually, it's probably better than The Tonight Show, because The Tonight Show doesn't talk about wrestling. That being said, App State, the Mountaineers, John Mark Bentley, Will Formato, John Milner, Caleb Smith, and Cody Boyd after the swoosh here on the Short Time Wrestling Podcast. Because as always, I'd like to thank you for spending your time with me, because you've always got time for Short Time.
Thanks for joining us for our preseason media day interviews with App State Wrestling. We have head coach John Mark Bentley entering his 14th season. App State was a SoCon regular season champion last year, undefeated run through the regular season. Had returns 6 of 10 starters from that team and has 5 guys on their roster who have participated in the NCAA championships, including John Milner, a 2-time All-American. So with the size of this crowd, I can probably let you guys navigate questions. But Coach, if you want to make an opening statement, then we can just let you guys fire away.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us today for our media day for App State Wrestling. I'm excited about this season and what's to come. You know, obviously, we've got, as Brett mentioned, we've got some experience returning. This is a predominantly veteran team, and so we've got a lot of experience, and we're excited about you know, what's in store for us this year. We've got a lot of expectations, high hopes, and you know, our guys have been, you know, doing a great job in the off season, and I'm really looking forward to you know, seeing kind of what we can accomplish, and you know, honestly, the challenge ahead. You know, coming off a conference regular season championship last year, you know, obviously want to repeat that and win the tournament this year. But most importantly, we want to be, you know, top 15 team in the country, you know, and that's going to take multiple All-Americans. And I do believe that we have the guys in our lineup that can do it. We've got an extremely challenging schedule this year that's going to push our guys and test them. And so they will be battle tested by the time we get to Tulsa in March. So, you know, without any further ado, I'll be happy to take any questions.
I guess with a small group, it probably won't be a problem. But if you're not asking a question, I guess please mute your line.
So looking at the depth that you've been developing in Boone, you've had opportunities to fill the lineup. Guys go down, and then you've been able to plug people right in. How much has that really developed over the last couple of years? And why are teams like App State and your squad specifically not necessarily like having a gaping hole when somebody goes down? You're ready to plug and play.
I think it's about our culture, to be honest with you. I mean, we've really been, you know, focused on developing our culture over the last decade. And I think some of the depth that you're starting to see in some of our weight classes is, you know, I would attribute to that culture. I mean, we have an extremely close-knit team, and the guys that come in our program, they buy into our core beliefs and our core values and the system we have in place here at Appalachian State. And obviously success is contagious, and a lot of guys want to join this program, you know, once they've seen kind of, you know, the direction the program's heading in and some of the exciting, you know, results and things like that we've had and the young men that come through our program, kind of, you know, what they're like. And so I think that, you know, developing that strong culture and that buy-in right from the very start, from our recruits, from our freshmen, all the way through our seniors. And I really do believe that we have a great system in place for guys to develop. You know, I think we get guys in here that, you know, might not be ready right out of the gate, but, you know, a couple years in our room, in our system, I think that we can get them up to speed and, you know, they can fill in our lineup. And, you know, when there's an injury or if, you know, we have a senior leave that's a, you know, a strong spot for us, you know, for the most part, we have guys that I think are capable that we can plug right in. And so, and that's a challenge, you know, when you're trying to be a top 15 team in the country, this is Division I wrestling, injuries happen. And so you're only as good as, your ability to, prevent, you know, a major catastrophe happening if you lose one of your starters or something like that. And so, you know, last year's a prime example. You know, we had Mason Pacella was our 197 pounder. He was in the finals at the Mountaineer Invitational and at the Keystone Classic in Pennsylvania. And then the third week of December tears his ACL, MCL, everything out of his knee. And we had to pull a red shirt out and use the red shirt last year at 197 for Wyatt Miller. So those kind of things happen. You can't plan for them. You just got to be as diligent as you can preparing and making sure you have depth in every weight class.
No, Pacella was kind of who I was kind of keying on for two reasons. One, that situation right there. And two, he's from my hometown. So a little plug for Pocosin, Virginia there with the program. Now, when we look at the development, the growth that you're talking about, you know, Jonathan Milner, North Carolina kid, been with the program. A lot of people started chirping saying, hey, is he going to get the extra year? Going to get the extra year? Is he going to use the extra year? Is he going to stay in Boone? How easy of a sell was that for you to say, hey, you can stay here. You can be our first 3-time D1 All-American and the second 3-time All-American in school history.
Well, you know, honestly, we really didn't have a lot of conversations about it until after the NCAA tournament. You know, I was well aware when we were out in St. Louis that a lot of people were, talking about it. I think it was his junior year. You know, they knew he was going to have a COVID year and that kind of thing. And then last year, you know, it was in Detroit and you know, it kind of felt like that leading into the year that, you know, we kind of had a talk early in the season last year and, you know, he was having his second child this summer. And, you know, he kind of told me that was going to be it for him, that he was going to finish out in Detroit. That was going to be his last NCAA term. He probably wasn't going to use his COVID year, was going to try to finish up school and move on with his life. And I think, that weekend in Detroit, I think he really wrestled, you know, I think to a point where I think he got a taste that there might be something left in the tank that he feels like he can get out of himself. And, you know, I think he, you know, has higher aspirations than just being sixth in the country. And, you know, I think obviously he was getting quite a bit of attention. I think there were schools reaching out to him, through third parties, you know, seeing if he'd be interested in transfer and wrestling his last year, stuff like that. But he came and talked to me and said, you know, Coach Bentley, if I'm talking to my wife, we're going to talk about it. I've talked to my high school coach, some of the family around that, you know, I'm thinking about maybe coming back for my sixth year. But he said, if I do come back for a sixth year, I wouldn't want to come to, you know, I wouldn't want to wrestle for any other place in Appalachian State. And then from there, it was an easy decision for me. I'm like, yeah, if you want to come back for a sixth year, man, I'd love to have you. We'll do everything we can to work it out for you here and make it a great situation for you and your family. And so then we worked out a few of the details and the rest is history.
How many other guys you got coming back for those COVID years?
I think him and Cody Bond are the only two six-year guys that I have this year. Cody Bond is our 157-pounder, qualified in 2 years ago, just barely missed qualifying last year.
So from a program that's, I don't really like to use the term mid-major, but, you know, let's use what it is, or, you know, if you want to use football terminology, G5 now with where App State sits in the football landscape. But when it comes to managing those extra years of eligibility, those extra athletes, how much more does App State have to work to make sure this works with the scholarship allotment, this works with the financial accessibility? You have to recruit other athletes moving down the line to keep these guys for an extra year.
Yeah, I mean, as you're well aware, Jason, we didn't have the full 9.9 allotment going into last year. And so, you know, when you're talking about a two-time All-American that decides last minute that he's coming back, I mean, most of our recruiting was already done for last year. And so we had most of that scholarship money spent. So I had to go out and shake the bushes and find scholarship dollars for him. You know, and so I think it's a challenge for everybody. I think the COVID year has made an extreme juggling act for all Division I head coaches trying to keep athletes on roster for a 6 year, managing scholarship limitations, but definitely at a mid-major where scholarship dollars are limited. It's definitely something that we had to really kind of work on to make sure that we could make it financially feasible for John to stay a 6 year and be able to have his family here and all that.
Just a quick one. Actually, Coach, first off, hello and thank you. On this year's team, Coach, this is Ted Carreras. I'm sorry. Hand raised blog. I'm coming in as Galaxy S8. I don't know why. This team for this year, Coach Bentley, stronger as a dual meet team, stronger as a tournament team from your point of view, and whatever one that is that a pleasant surprise to you for this year, or is that a realized expectation for this year?
Well, honestly, I don't even know what this team, I mean, we've got some veterans on this team, but we're going to have some new faces in the lineup. It's a new year. Every year is a new challenge. So I don't know that I have really looked in depth at kind of whether we're a stronger dual meet team or a stronger tournament team yet, because I honestly don't know what I have yet. You know, I mean, I know we've got guys that have achieved at a certain level up to this point, but every year is a new year. And I think if you'll ask me that question, maybe mid-December, I could probably give you a better answer. I think we're a well-balanced team, both in tournament and in dual meets. I mean, I don't think that, we don't have any glaring weaknesses when I look at us. But, you know, to be a really strong dual meet team or to be a strong tournament team and, you know, reach our goals, being a top 15 team in the country this year, You know, that takes a lot of guys doing some pretty special things. And so I think we have the guys that are capable of doing that. But I don't really, you know, I don't really know if I have, I mean, there's a lot of expectations. We're expected to win championships and produce All Americans. That's just, you know, that's part of the expectations we put on ourselves. But I don't know that I have any, real, you know, expectation as far as dual meets versus tournaments or which team I think the strongest. I do think that our lineup is very, you know, for the last 5 or 6 years, we've been very good in dual meets. You know, we can wrestle some top 10 teams in the country very close. You know, and I think it's part of it is just how our guys fight for each other and they wrestle for each other and our team culture. But I also think we have a strong tournament team as well. I think we've got several guys that can All American this year. And so, you know, that's a really, a hard question to answer at this stage in the season.
Let me ask you another hard one, if I may. Is there a possibility that App State can break their record of 7 NCAA qualifiers this year? Is that viable?
I think so. And honestly, that's the goal. I mean, we want to have 10 qualifiers at the NCAA tournament. We talk about that in our program. We talk about it in our locker room, in our wrestling room. The goal is not to get a fraction of our lineup to the NCAA championships. The goal is to get all 10 of our starters to the NCAA championships. Our guys have heard it. They're bought into it. And we've got guys that are working hard at all 10 weight classes to try to make that a reality. And, you know, I think it's just a matter. I mean, I think I've got a schedule that our guys are going to wrestle this year that's going to give them every opportunity in the world to earn bids. So, you know, we've tried to give them every possible opportunity to make sure we do have the chance to have 10 of those guys at the NCAA tournament.
Thank you for leading to this last question. I'll be quiet. What prompted the acceptance of the invitation to the national duels, and what prompted the ultimate decline?
I'm not sure if there was an acceptance and a decline. I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to.
I had some sources that App State was going to participate in the national duels, and then that they chose not to. Is that incorrect?
We never confirmed we were wrestling in the national duels at all. I think there were some people that were trying to say that App State had committed to get other teams to commit, but no, I don't think that there was any commitment. Not from my standpoint, we never made a decision that was a definite that we were going to do.
Gotcha. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump back on the scheduling thing a little bit and look at the announcement that season ticket packages are a thing this year. So I know we've had some offline discussions about the attendance at Appalachian State, and there's you know, I've been tracking the attendance for a number of years, and to be able to try to put a tangible number on how many people are coming through the gym, and you know, that push that you've made to make sure that wrestling isn't just a relevant part of the institution, but hey, this is a program that brings the university and brings the athletic department money. How excited are you to say, hey, we've got a season ticket package now?
We're very excited. I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you. We've been selling tickets for the last, I'd have to look back, probably 5 or 6 years. And our attendance has grown every year since we've been selling tickets and, you know, putting out a good product. I mean, as you know, Jason, that's the most important thing. You know, people will pay to see wrestling meets that are exciting and you get quality opponents in varsity gym. And I think that's what we've tried to do. I mean, if you look at our schedule, I've got a very challenging schedule. We've got some great home dual meets that our fans can come to varsity gym and watch. And I think that's what sells season tickets. You know, people want to be excited about a product that you're putting on the mat and want to be excited about the opponents that you're bringing to wrestle.
To that point, too, with the Southern Conference Championships going to be hosted in Boone this year, what goes into running a tournament from a head coaching perspective of the host institution, and how excited are you, and how nerve-wracking is that type of thing?
Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of a mixed emotions about it, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, I think it's great for our guys. I mean, I love for our guys to be able to compete at home, you know, be able to sleep in their bed most of the week, and you know, have the comforts of being in Boone, but with running a tournament, obviously comes some different stresses and things like that. I mean, you have to get warm-up mats and things moved early in the week to set up. You've got alumni coming into town. You know, typically there's some socials and things like that for, you know, donors and things like that. So it adds a little bit of you know, an added element to it. But, you know, I think the it always outweighs any negative that, you know, as far as, you know, having to be busy doing things for the tournament. I would always choose doing the tournament and taking on a little more stress than going somewhere else, you know, to wrestle the conference tournament. And we have a great venue too. I mean, it's a great, the Holmes Convocation Center does a great job. It's a first class event. We have the, you know, Jumbotron. We've got, you know, we've got, lights, smoke coming out of the tunnels for the finals, and it really feels like a championship. So I think it's a great place to have it.
Lastly, I want to jump on the just the image and the, I guess, the place App State has in college athletics. Of course, Game Day was there a couple weeks ago. We tried to get John on as a guest picker unsuccessfully. Yeah, it was worth a try. We were working on it, but when it comes to using that opportunity to look at what other sports have brought to Boone and then sit there going, how can we capitalize? How has wrestling been able to capitalize on the brand name that App State is nationwide? It's not just, okay, you beat Michigan in football a couple of years ago. This is something that, you know, other sports are, you know, it's like, all right, look around. We're excited. And how are you using that to kind of engage the fan base, engage the student population to say, you know what, you can be just as excited about other sports as you can App State wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many great things about this university. I mean, the surrounding area is beautiful. If you've ever been to Boone, North Carolina, it's really hard to explain it to someone that's never been here. I mean, there's not a more beautiful setting in the country, in my opinion. You know, and then having the you know, we have a very strong athletics department. We have 17 sports. Obviously, the notoriety that football's, you know, brought in over the last decade or so. I mean, even this year, you know, one of the reasons why College Game Day was here was we beat, I think, the number 5 team in the country, Texas A&M, the week before at Texas A&M. So obviously the national spotlight was on our football team then. And, you know, our wrestling team, we expect to compete for championships. And, you know, we try to use all that, you know, I mean, I think, you know, for me, I'd like to see all the other 16 sports here winning championships as well. I think, you know, there's always a benefit to having other teams on your campus that are having success. And I think that's what, you know, we have here at Appalachian State. We have a very strong athletics department, not just a wrestling program. We have a very strong athletic department, and it has a national brand. And I think it's one of the biggest growing and fastest growing national brands out there for college athletics.
All right, we've got Will Formato, 165-pounder. He's been a SoCon Wrestler of the Year, a 2-time NCAA qualifier. And Jason or Ted, if you have questions for Will, fire away.
Yeah, well, I'll start with, you know, coming from the what we can now say is the great wrestling state of Georgia, there's been a lot of kids that have come out there in the last decade that have really started to dot the landscape nationally. How important was it for you to find a Division I opportunity that was in the South, be able to be closer to home than having to deal with these really, really frozen winters in the Midwest where a lot of wrestling culture is?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I couldn't agree more with the whole Georgia on the rise thing. I mean, it's awesome. I love seeing a bunch of guys that I grew up with doing awesome, Caleb Henson and guys like that are kind of coming through the pipes that are going to do great. But, I mean, it was obviously crucial to find a school in the South like this. And honestly, I'm just super blessed to have the opportunity to be here. When I was coming out of high school, this was definitely my number one, like my dream school. Basically, I knew that this is where I wanted to be. I love the way that we train here and the way we do the right things and stuff like that. So it was all kind of just perfect. I mean, location, coaching, just the mentality of the team and the way the team is. I mean, you couldn't get a better place in App State. There's no doubt.
Looking at the opportunity to compete at the show. Now, this year, we actually had fans again. It was a real experience. So, you know, not saying that the first trip wasn't an experience for you, but when there's a sold out building and there's thousands and thousands of people and you're walking out on one of those 8 mats for the first time, how does that change your mindset going into your next year? How has that changed you preparing for this season?
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge difference from the first time I went, and it made it a lot more fun. But obviously, there was a lot more distractions all around you. It really took over the city a lot more than it did in St. Louis because there was just a ton more fans and all the coaches and wrestlers. I mean, it just felt like a true experience, and I think that was important for all of us that went to get that experience if it was our first time in front of a packed arena at nationals. But I mean, I think it was crucial, and I think It makes us all really excited for Tulsa to get another packed arena and get another awesome city and kind of just, you know, show out in front of a packed crowd.
When we look at the home schedule, it's a really good home schedule this year, and matches in Boone have been really exciting. And then the Southern Conference schedule, there's a lot more chirping with the social media this day. There's some real rivalries that have been developed with the traditional Southern Conference schools. And then, of course, the Southern Conference is what it is with teams from various different all sports conferences. But what's it like to know that there's some real battles when you guys step into a mat, not just Chattanooga, it's at Chattanooga, it's Campbell. We've got a new coach at Davidson. There's some real energy around the Southern Conference this year. I mean, what's it like as an athlete going, all right, there's some guys out there. It's not an empty gym. They're ready to chirp at you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's awesome. I think it's good for the sport to have that kind of environment. And I think it's good for our conference. If the better our conference gets, the better we're going to get having better competition and kind of making it a bigger deal. And I mean, I enjoy it. I know the Southern Conference is getting better by the year. And I know we really take it seriously. I mean, a lot of these teams, we all train hard and a lot of the teams want to win. And that makes it really, really important. And I mean, it's just fun, man. It's fun to have competitive duels and to have kind of that social media stuff going on. Obviously, is from an athlete's perspective, we don't really focus on that, but it's good for the fans, and whatever's good for the fans is good for our program.
Looking at your development, Ian Miller as an athlete at Kent State was wide open. He was, appointment viewing, so to speak, when he was on the mat. You're like, what's this guy going to do next? From a coaching standpoint, what's he taught you? What's he taught the guys around you that have said, you know what, there's a little bit of him we can throw out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Coach Miller was really fun to watch as an athlete when he competed, and a lot of people really enjoyed seeing what kind of crazy stuff he was going to pull out of his bag of tricks. But when it comes to coaching, he's really more focused on the basics and keeping good position. And it's something that I think gets overlooked when people think of him in wrestling, is how great of position he keeps and how good his just basic fundamentals are. And so I think he brings a lot more of that to the table than people probably realize. And then also just having that kind of athleticism and ability and talent in the room just raises our whole team, especially the middleweights, getting to wrestle with him and getting to feel that. And I think it's awesome. I mean, he's got both the really cool moves that people like to watch, and he's also super fundamental, and so he can help us in both sides of that.
When looking at this team, Coach Bentley just said he's looking to potentially break that school record of 7 qualifiers. What's the team mentality? Not what the coaches are telling. What are you guys telling each other? Like, what do you believe this year? What are your team goals outside of what the coaches laid out for you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the coaches lay out a lot for us, and they say that they have a higher expectation than we do. But in reality, I mean, we have a chip on our shoulder this year. And I think with every year, we got a couple guys that were young last year and we've grown into it. And we have just so much talent, so much hard work. And I think our expectation is nothing less than top 15 in the country and getting our full lineup to the national tournament. And we know it's possible. I mean, we have all the guys that are there. It's just we have to rise to the occasion. And we're super hungry, super excited. The energy in the room has been amazing. We really haven't stopped training since the end of last season. So it's not like we just hopped into the room 2 days ago or yesterday and we're like, okay, we're excited now. Like, we know what we want. Like, we've been feeling this way since right after NCAA's ended last year. And the guys that are stepping into the lineup that haven't been there before know the expectations and they've put in the work, and we're confident of it.
You said you guys have a chip on your shoulder. Well, what's the reason for that?
I mean, I think it's just we're known for a team that's really scrappy, and we're known to wrestle hard and to be kind of better than what people expect. But we're not known yet for just being that team. Like, we're not known for beating teams like UNC or North Carolina State. And we want to make that kind of a thing. We want to make that our mentality, and that's really how it's got to be. I mean, we're happy that we kind of have that mindset of like, oh, those guys are really scrappy, they wrestle hard, but we want to be more than that. We want to be, oh, those guys are legit. Like, they're the ones that they can beat anybody on any day. And that's kind of what we're working towards.
Kind of embodying the spirit of what a mountaineer actually is.
Yeah, the hard work and getting the job done.
Okay, very good. Well, first off, hello, congratulations, great career, et cetera. You may help understand, you're a redshirt junior. You have this year and next year if you want it.
Yes, technically, I do have next year with the COVID year if I wanted it.
Understood. I understand the what you're saying there. So you've got to. I mean, it's not that. If you take both years, not only do you get to 100 wins, but could you be threatening the all-time or close to the all-time App State win record? And would that be something that would help you think about coming back for another year, assuming the success that you've had continues?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the wins look like. I have no idea, but that would be awesome. I mean, obviously that's something we all strive for. I know John's looking for that too, and we're all looking to get that win record. But yeah, I mean, definitely. I don't know. I've never really looked at the stats of everything. I'm not even sure how to do that, but I see what you mean. I mean, totally. That's definitely a big deal, and that's something I'd love to kind of leave a mark on with App State, with the history and everything.
The way the conference is cleared out, I mean, Nicholson went to VT, Kesto swapped weight classes. Now he's out, Porter's gone, you and Mosley. But are you going into the season saying, you know, I'm the big dog at this weight class, not just in the SOCOM, but maybe in the South? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've had that mentality going into the conference every year. I mean, our weight class is no joke, and it's definitely a little different this year with people leaving. But, you know, I go into it every year with that kind of mentality, and I haven't gotten really what I've wanted out of the last 2 years, at least at the end of the year. But I'm excited. I mean, it doesn't really matter at this point who steps out, if Nicholson stayed and if we had even more talent and everything. I mean, I'm ready for whatever, you know. I'm ready to take on whoever, and I'll beat who I have to beat to get there, you know.
Jason, do you have anything else for Will?
Yeah. Who gives Coach Bentley his hair care tips? Is it you?
No, he wishes. I don't know anyone that can give him hair care tips at this point. I'm trying to think. Poor guys. Hopefully he's not watching this right now.
who's got the best hair on the team? Because right now the flow's looking good.
I mean, I'd definitely say me. I'm trying to think who else. Cody's got a perm right now, so that, I guess if you're into that, you can get with that. But I mean, personally, it's got to be me. You know,
he's got a perm.
Yeah, you'll see it here in a second. It's interesting. Some people like it. I like it, but
setting the table for that one. All right, I'm good.
When Coach Randall lets it fly, it's all over. Game over.
Yeah, well, I'd love to see that. Honestly, it seems like every time you think it's headed that direction, he shaves it clean off, and it's like, whoa. But we'll see. I mean, you know, he's my son in a lot of things, so I might help him with the hair flow too.
Well, appreciate it, Will. We'll get. Who wants to go next? We'll get someone else to roll in over here in just a second.
You got it. Thank you guys so much.
Looks like we'll have John come up. Obviously, a two-time All-American at 149 pounds. So, Jason or Ted, I guess we'll let Jason kick us off. And Ted, if you can mute your line when you're not asking questions, we'll go to John.
All right, John, Jason, Brian here. Looking at your career, we touched on it with Coach Bentley already a bit. But in your words, how important was the decision to come back for that extra year and to do it in Boone?
Yeah, it was a pretty big decision for me and for my family as well. But definitely having my last loss, I thought that was a match I could have won. And it really wanted me to, you know, motivate me to come back again and try to finish out my career here.
One thing I'd asked Will was about, you know, growing up in the South and having an opportunity to wrestle Division I in the South. You're from Carolina, so a little different. You're in state there. How important is it for you to represent your home state while wearing that big A on your chest?
It's really important because I think North Carolina is an underrepresented state as far as wrestling goes. So it's really important for me to kind of get that put out there that, you know, North Carolina is known for wrestling, especially the Greensboro area. We got a lot of guys on our team that's from Greensboro, you know, went to the same club as me, and they're tremendous. They're really good talents, and they're going to do some pretty positive things in the future. But it's really important just to represent the state, and then, you know, kids that, you know, they can see success at a high level and know that they could do it as well.
Looking at your career, you know, when somebody from the Southern Conference comes in and up, you know, they use the term sneak on the podium. They snuck on the podium. You were seated when you placed the first time. You're seated when you placed the second time. Now you don't surprise anybody anymore. You're the guy. You've gone from the hunter to the hunted. What's that like going into this last year? Be like, okay, I'm going to get everybody's best from here on out.
So I mean, you know, you always get everybody's best whenever you're beating them or whatever. They're always trying to win. You're always trying to compete. So that's not something I really try to think about as much, you know, just focusing on my little mistakes that I make, because, you know, nobody's perfect. We all make little mistakes. So just trying to correct those. And I got the best coaching staff to help me fix my mistakes. And that was, again, one of the reasons why I wanted to come back to App. You know, Coach Bentley is a tremendous coach. He's always correcting himself. He's up in his coaching level, you know, every day. And it really motivates me to stay motivated in my training. And yeah, and I always expect to win. I always expect to be on top of the podium. Another reason why I wanted to come back and wrestle my sixth year.
I asked Will the same question about the experience at the NCAA championships. Compare the differences, hitting the podium with St. Louis. Great first time in the career to be on that podium, and then but there was nobody there really to see it. Now in Detroit, packed house, bright lights, a lot of noise, a lot of crowd. Compare the two experiences.
Yeah, so I mean, the fans, they didn't really bother me as much. That doesn't really bother me at all. I will say the first time was a lot easier than the second time. Second time coming through the backside, you know, and I lost one match earlier, but, you know, you go through the backside all Friday, you know, it's a grueling process. It's pretty tough to do, but, you know, I'm glad that I did it. And, you know, I gained a lot of experience from it as well, too. So a lot of mental.
What type of experience can you explain to your younger teammates and the ones that may have just missed out and be like, here's what you can do. Now, I used to be in your shoes. Now I've been there. I've accomplished these first goals. How do you do that as a senior leader to the younger wrestlers?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a really big, important thing that we got to teach all our young guys is, you know, set goals that you want to reach, you know, not what you think you can reach. Cause, you know, you can always put a limit on yourself. So set goals on what you want to reach, not what you think you can reach. You know, because we all have untapped potential that, you know, we don't know things that we can do yet. So you'll surprise yourself when you give it a moment or opportunity. You know, anybody at the national tournament can place, can win it. You know, they're all good enough to be there. They're all good enough to beat somebody any given day. And that's the beauty of NCAA wrestling, you know.
Thank you, Jason. Hello, John. Congratulations on a fantastic career so far. What do you take from and motivational is the motivation, if you do any, about most experts, like the guy who was just talking, have been saying that your weight class is probably the most brutal one of all the weight classes this year. Most returning All-Americans, most talent, et cetera. Is that something that played a little bit into the decision-making process to say, I can now prove myself against one of the greatest fields that's been out here in a while?
Yeah, not really. I don't really look at you know, who's in the weight class. For me, it doesn't really matter. I got to beat the person that's out there in front of me. You know, it's not guaranteed that I'm gonna make it to somebody or somebody's gonna make it to me. But, you know, I just want to prove them mostly to myself and, you know, to leave a legacy for this program. That's what it's about for me. You know, Appalachian State's given me a tremendous opportunity to compete on a high level. And, you know, I got my teammates. I wouldn't want to be on another team with any other guys, you know, competing for them. So, you know, if any one of us win a national title, you know, it's good for everybody. You know, we'll remember that forever. Teammates, the person doing it, no matter what, that's just a moment that I want to share with my kids and they can share with their kids. That's something that, you know, we'll share a lifetime with.
That thought process you just spoke of really struck home with me and wrote about it last year after your speech, which was amazing after the tournament. Do you see that as being something that's just as important for you to be able to put forth as your success? In other words, how you represent athletics, the school, how it should be represented, and maybe instead of how a lot of times it is represented at other places by other athletes.
100%. You know, that's if I'm spectating and I see other people competing, I want to see them competing. If I want, like, a younger kid, for example, that comes through App, you know, I want to see them respect the singlet that I wore, you know, as much as I would. And, you know, to do that, you got to lead by example. And that's just what I try to do. And I know a lot of my teammates feel the same way about it, you know, just give an opportunity and probably say the same thing. So
we'll go perm now. We'll go with Cody Bond, who was a NCAA qualifier and conference champion two seasons ago and was a SoCon finalist last season and was a second alternate for the NCAAs. And he's at 157 again.
Another Georgia boy out there. So I want to start with the same question I started with Will before we get to the hair care tips is what's it like representing the great wrestling state of Georgia at a Division I down south. And, you know, having been to the show once, you know, the state's rising. There's more than just the usual suspects that are hunting Georgia high schools for talent. Now they're coming from all over the country. And how important was it for you to find a program closer to home and an opportunity to wrestle at App State?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love App State. It was kind of like what Will said, is my number one choice coming out of high school. But as for Georgia, you know, like it was kind of on the come up when me and Will were coming through, but I think now it's even better than it was then. Lots of these Georgia kids are going these Big Ten schools, Pac-12, stuff like that. So it's really cool to see how the state's grown a lot.
How important is it for, you know, you wrestlers from Georgia, wrestlers from down south, to do well at schools that are geographically in the South? Because, you know, the Southern Conference has to fight for its bids every year, trying to get more, having good seasons. But to show that, hey, you know what, we don't have to leave the area to win. We can win here. We have good coaches here. You know, how much do you guys kind of wear that on your sleeve, so to speak?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wear it every day. I don't know. It's different being from down south, because people, they don't really, when they think of people wrestling like in Georgia and other places, Florida, stuff like that, they don't think that we're very good, you know. And to be able to prove the haters wrong is something that I kind of like to do.
When you look at last season, came up just short, and of course, you know, the wrestler from the Citadel ended up having a really, really good run at the championships, and you're sitting there. How hard is it for you to sit there and watch that and be like, I was right there, I should have been there? And how much does that drive you going into the season?
Yeah, I have it written down all over my locker and everything. I see it every day. I have the score, the time, everything. It's all in my locker, what I needed to do differently. So it's a good reminder for me to be able to see that. And then, yeah, you said you had a good tournament at Nationals. I was there. I got to kind of witness that too. So it gave me like that fuel, you know. Because I really believe that I should be able to be on the podium this year.
Is watching, you know, John do that now 2 years in a row, how much does that give you and the rest of the team belief that, yeah, this isn't just lip service, this isn't just coach speak, this is somebody who's done it right here in our room?
Yeah, working out with him a lot. He's pretty much become a coach for me too. I consider him my fifth coach. He helps me out on the mental side and everything like that. Gives me tips and stuff like that. So it's cool to get to see him excel. And it's also cool to see that he gives back to us too. Like, he wants us to succeed just as much as he gets to. So it's really cool.
Personal goals going into this season. How do they, obviously, you know, there's the very, you know, I want to win a national championship. I want to get to the show. I want to be an All-American. What else have you set forth for yourself that are outside of the normal traditional wrestler goals of, all right, you know, win the title, hit the podium, win the conference, that type of thing?
Yeah. When John announced that he was coming back, I obviously am going to stay at 157. So me growing into that weight class was a huge goal this summer. I think I transitioned well into it. I know that I walk around sometimes around 70, 71, which is way better than what I did last year. I would leave practice most of the time around 52, 53. So I would be wrestling guys that are way bigger than me. So it's nice to be able to be the big guy at the weight now. And I think that's going to really help me be able to be on the podium, bigger, faster, stronger, everything like that.
Benefits of the good Southern hospitality, the Southern food. Because I tell you what, living up here in Minnesota, I can't get grits to save my life up here. So you go stick your ribs meals you can enjoy now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about the challenges at 57. You got two of the best ones in the country hot out the box. You got Andonian and you got O'Connor. I've been on record saying I think the ACC is going to put four on the podium. Facing those guys like that quality right out of the box and throughout the seasons of tournaments, how much is that going to help you adjust, figure out where you're at right now and adjust what you have to adjust going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you said it right. It's going to show me where I'm at. With the best of the best. And I think that they might overlook me a little bit, but I think I'm ready to answer. I think I can beat those guys. And I, if not now, I mean, I got to beat them at some point. So rather it be now and in March, but I really believe that I can do it.
You talk about your middle, the three of you there together. Yeah, Milner, you, Formato. Is that as good a three-man lineup in the middle as pretty much anywhere in the country?
Oh, I 100% agree with that. I think that, you know, I get the follow-up right after John, so it gives me confidence going and seeing what he does out on the mat. And then I think that what we do is we try and one-up each other. So whatever John does, I try to do it a little bit better. And then Will goes right in after me and tries to do it even better. So I think that we have a 1-2-3 punch right there that's one of the best in the country.
Jason, do you have anything else for Cody?
No, I'm good to go. Other than I was going to circle back. Okay, bro, let's talk about the hair, man. Let's. The last time I think I saw a perm was 1989. You going the opposite with Will here?
Yeah, I'm trying to run back through history. I don't know. Something different. I don't know. I like it. Some people like it. Some people don't. It just, I don't really care what people think. It's my hair.
Yeah. Coach Bentley doesn't have any. I'm losing mine. So we don't have a whole lot to talk about here. So hypothetical, what would Yosef look like with a perm?
Oh God.
Let's try to put that on the creative team. See if they can draw one up.
Well, hopefully the beard would be kind of curly too. So I don't know. It's got to match.
It does that. Well, best of luck this season, and we'll keep an eye on you and Will's flow for sure.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Cody. And we'll wrap up with Caleb Smith, NCAA qualifier last year in his first year as a starter at 125, had the big win against Minnesota's Patrick McKee, and back again for another season.
Okay. Hi, Caleb. Ted Carreras here. First off, thank you very much for the excitement you had there last year. Let me ask you a loaded question. A guy who helped set the depth and strength at this weight class is gone now after being there for 4 years, Fabian Gutierrez. You had some battles with him. You disappointed that he's gone? Were you looking to get other shots at him, or is that's the rearview mirror? And I've got other plans, bigger fish to be concerned about going into this season.
I feel like that's a mixed answer. You know, I definitely want to get my face back and wish I could wrestle one more time because I know I had it in me. But like you said, it is in the past. There's nothing I can do about it now. And, you know, my ultimate goal is to be a world champion, national champion. So me and him having a match, maybe in SoCons, it is something I really wish I had back, but it's not going to lead me ultimately to being a national champion. So I just got to focus on what I got to do now to achieve those goals.
On your arrival into the lineup, a lot of schools, even ones with quote unquote good culture, would have had some difficulty with a hotshot freshman coming in and making conference stars, conference champions have to move, have to change. Not only did that not happen at App State, it seemed your entry at 125 made the team cohesiveness even stronger. Can you speak to that, about that, about how that situation developed and how you guys used it moving forward last year? End of this year?
You know, our team, we're always really good with depth. You know, there's a lot of people in the dark that you don't see that just grind every single day. We got people like even Heath, for chance, he was behind Brito and he came in the lineup and he's going to do some amazing things this year. Sean Carter too. He's been in the lineup for a while, but I've been behind him. But having those guys, I just want to see them reach their goals. And that's really the common theme with everybody. We want everybody to achieve their goals. So those people are going to push you in practice so that you can reach those goals. Even if it's not your chance, we know you're going to get a chance. So you just got to be prepared. And ultimately, I think me just keeping my head down, staying focused, and working is what led me to having a pretty decent year last year.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, my question, we're going to talk about your experience in the starting lineup. I've noticed this over the years that when a high school wrestler starts for the first time, it's that next year, that first year of varsity mat time, they make huge gains. In college, it's also there. How much improvement do you think you made having that full starting season under your belt heading into this year?
It definitely helped a lot. most of it was mental. Just knowing that I could do it because I've never been out there. And, you know, it's easy to say that you could have done this or that when you're watching from the stands. But when you're out there, all that pressure and the emotions, all the work comes out. It's all on you. It definitely helped me, especially with this summer, because I got the opportunity to wrestle more consistently rather than wrestling month to month basis as a redshirt or maybe not even being in the lineup. And it helps me be more consistent. I say that's the main thing is just being consistent, being able to get those reps in against other people that aren't in the room every day. It helps a lot.
I've asked this question of everybody so far as geography. You know, you're another North Carolina kid, had a chance to opportunity to stay in state and wrestle Division I. How important was that opportunity for you to choose App State? And what's it like to again, wear that big A on your chest?
The big A is, it means, you know, we're amazing. I'm going to whoop you. That's what it means behind closed doors. I'm going to whoop you. But it's really big. You know, App State has a pretty big wrestling culture. Along with some of the other schools in North Carolina. But I always say how I want to put North Carolina on the map. We only have one native national champion, Mike Mott. And he's always encouraging me. And it's always nice to see other people from North Carolina encouraging you. So ultimately, I just want to make sure that we get the credit that we deserve because we do have some diamonds in there. And it just needs to be put to the light.
Last year, it's really interesting when the brackets come out and then all of a sudden you've got McKee from Minnesota. And it seems like for everybody knows McKee's got a kryptonite about the first round for some reason. Now, knowing that going in, I mean, were you a little added confidence going into that match? Or is this something like this guy's from the Big Ten? He's been on this podium. You know, how do you approach a match like that when there may be this trendy pick? I usually tend to, you know, when you see in the basketball tournament, the trendy pick, when ESPN picks the trendy low seed to upset, you're like, that ain't going to happen. You were a trendy pick because of McKee being such, you know, somewhat flighty in that first round. So how do you approach a match like that?
You know, I didn't really look at the brackets. I don't care to know who I'm going to wrestle. And whenever I did find out, because I guess we were just talking about it and somebody's like, yeah, you got McKee. It's like, okay, like I like it. I want that. I want the big matches because if I want a name for myself, I got to build it. And the only way to build it is by beating those top guys who, you know, who's had that experience and got the accolades that I want. So the way I thought of it is I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to score a lot of points and whatever happens is going to happen. But ultimately, I'm just going to let it fly. And that's what I did.
Going through the experience last year, now heading into this year, what mental adjustments are you prepared for? You know, you first got to get to the show again. I mean, it's a long season. College wrestling is hard, but, you know, the preparation, the expectations, how much have those changed and what are you ready for round two?
The biggest thing that I took away from nationals is it's only 7 minutes. So whenever I'm in practice, I just got to stay focused for 7 minutes at a time. I don't have to think, oh, it's going to be whatever. We're going to do this and that. Like in every match, I talked to Mark Hall at the national tournament and he told me his thought process was just putting together 4 matches to be in the finals, 5 to be a national champion. And so he just kept doing that every single match. And that's going to be my mindset. So every duel is the first duel, the first match of the nationals. And then it's going to repeat and repeat until I get 4. And whenever I get 5, I'm winning the national title. That way that I know I've already done it before I've got there. And it's just going to help it make it more simple rather than thinking about winning and losing. It's just going to say, I've got to put together 4 good matches, 5 good matches, and then I'll be on top.
Team expectations. Ask a couple of your teammates about, you know, the expectations the coaches put on you. What expectations are you putting on yourself and your teammates putting on each other that are beyond what the coaches are asking you to do?
I really think that we could be a top 10 team, and I want us to increase our pins. With that, I want us to also increase the amount of points that we score per match. You know, I don't want to win by just 2 or 3 points per match. I want to be blowing people out. You know, that's the only way that we're going to put on a show. That's my goal ultimately, is I want to put on a show for the fans, my family, everybody that supported me. So we got to win by at least 4 or 5 points. Let them know it's not just by luck, but we won because we're really good.
Last question I got is, in the battle of hair products, who is going to win, Will or Cody?
I don't think it's either one of them. It's me.
Oh, okay.
I got these curls. You can't really see them right now.
Okay, now I see it, yeah.
But if I had to choose between them, I'm going to go with Cody because he got curls. Will just kind of got like a little wavy look which is fine. I like it. But curls for the girls.
So is it safe to say that the Carolina hair is better than the Georgia hair?
Oh, definitely. It's not even close. It's not close.
That's all I got, Brett.
I think that's probably a good place to end it. So,
all right. Thank you, guys.
I appreciate it. Good luck this season.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Short Time Wrestling Podcast is proudly outfitted by Compound Sportswear. Shirts, singlets, custom gear orders, everything you need. Call up Cliff and the crew at cmpteamwear.com. Hey, you know what? Did you like the show? You want to hit that subscribe button? MattTalkOnline.com/listen. Various different ways to subscribe to this show on your favorite podcatcher of choice. And if you're already subscribed and you're already listening, you love the show and you want to support this show and this network, MattTalkOnline.com/join the team. Become a team member today.